We'll have our readings now. Thanks, Sue.
Morena, everyone. Ata Marie. The first reading is from Samuel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. The Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi.
Thanks be to God. Ki a whanotonu tāna kukuli a tātata.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 22.
Praise and glory to God.
Jesus presented in the temple. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tene a te karaiti.
Praise to Christ the Word.
Good morning, everybody. Can I just comment, first of all, some pretty darn good singing today. You've all shown up for the year in a fine voice. I love that. My name is Ben, for those of you who don't know me. For those of you who do know me, my name is still Ben. But I'm an associate priest here. I thought about wearing the collar, but it's kind of hot, and I've kind of got to sing, but I thought, you can't get away with not letting people know that you're a real priest. So I got the T-shirt that says, if you can't see it at the back, it's half vicar, half ninja. Clearly, I'm not the full vicar. That would be Mark, and also he is also the full ninja. So he is down at St. Michael's, I believe, today, which is cool. So you have me instead. But over the last few weeks, we have been going through the season of Epiphany, which is looking at some of the different ways in which God reveals himself to us, which I think is a really cool theme, because so many people that I talk to, both inside and actually to outside of the church, really kind of just want to know who God really is, or what might God be doing in my life, or what might God be saying to me today, or even as you kind of get your head around those, what's God doing in the world at the moment that we could join in and be a part of? So I think it's a really cool theme. And today I want to talk about the ways in which God reveals himself to us through one another. So you're all going to give me a hand, which is going to be great. It's going to be good. So many, many years ago now, I did a four-day retreat called Casio. There's a men's Casio and a woman's Casio. I did the men's one, clearly. But I have a feeling that many of you might have done it as well. Are there a bunch of people here who have done Casio yet? Yeah, I knew there would be a few here. But for me, as a 20-year-old at the time, it was quite a pivotal moment in my Christian journey, and I just found it's not a huge retreat. There was about 40 of us-ish. But the cool thing about it is that you also do the four-day journey with a table of guys. There's like 6 to 8 people on your table, and you spend a lot of time having some really in-depth conversations and praying together and kind of taking this whole journey together. And invariably, for all of us on this table, God showed up on our journey. You know, we had that revelation of who God is, that epiphany, if you like, of God's revelation in that journey over that 4 days. And it was an amazing time, pivotal moment in my Christian journey. And when I finished, it was me and another young guy from our church who had gone on it, and we met up with the guy who sponsored us to go on it, and we thought, we want to continue this journey. And so what we thought we would do is that every Friday morning we would meet at McDonald's at 7 a.m. before work started, and we'd gather and we'd continue this journey together and have a conversation reflecting on our weeks and what God was doing, where he was present. And we used kind of a card which I've photocopied for you guys. It's in your pew sheet today, around 3 questions around the phrases know, grow, and go. So the idea was that we'd get together and we would talk, and know would be, as we reflect on our weeks, what's been our moments closest to Christ in this week? Or, alternatively, when have we felt far away from God this week? And then grow, you know, what are we reading? What are we listening to? What are we learning? How are we growing proactively this week? and go when have we had the opportunities to share our faith, and conversely, when have we missed opportunities to share our faith? And I found it so useful because what I would find before that, I guess, is that, you know, days just kind of flow into one another, weeks flow into one another, months flow in. You know, time goes by, and I found if I didn't take the proper time to reflect, I could easily miss what God was doing. And so it was great for me to be able to show up, reflect, and share, and other guys, and sometimes that would be a key to unlocking something that God was doing in their lives. Well, they'd share, and it would be something that I'd be like, oh, yeah, wow, I think God might be doing that in my life too. And so it was, week by week, for an hour every Friday at McDonald's, we grew both spiritually and, of course, physically being McDonald's. But it was a really, really good part of our journey. We did that for 10 years. And not only was it an amazing revelation for us, but other guys started to hear about it and go, oh, can we come along? And I'd be like, yeah. So eventually we ended up taking over the top floor of McDonald's in Johnsonville, and we'd kind of meet and we'd talk and we'd have some food, and then we'd split off into our different groups because we wanted to make sure that the sharing remained in depth for an hour. So you couldn't do that with a big group, so we'd have these little groups throughout McDonald's. And even the staff would see us coming and they'd be like, the usual? And I'd be like, the usual, sausage and egg McMuffin combo, thanks. But it was cool because they would start to see something of God in our gathering as well. And they'd be like, hey, look, my wife's got an operation this week. Could you pray for her? Oh, yeah, we can pray for her. Well, my sister's going through a hard time. Do you reckon you could pray for her? Well, yeah, absolutely, we can pray for her. And they just knew that we were there upstairs at McDonald's, gathering, sharing, seeking God and praying together, which was amazing. And even after that 10 years, guys took it with them. There was a group that started in Lower Hutt. Some guys moved to work in town, started doing it in town. I stayed and became the vicar of Johnsonville. So we ended up having breakfast in someone's house there. But we just kept this rhythm going. It was great. And what I found was that invariably in our conversations, we went deep with one another. And as we shared what we felt God might be doing in our lives, God was present. And we started to kind of put pieces together of what God might be doing. We started to have those epiphanies where you just go, ah, you know what? I think I see now what God might be doing. Now, we see this a lot in the Bible. We've got two readings today of God showing up or speaking to people through other people. So we've got the Samuel and Eli story, which, you know, Wes talked about a little bit. I'm sure many of you will be familiar with it. We've got Samuel. He's a kid who God is calling to become the great prophet of Israel, but he doesn't recognize God's voice. He doesn't know that revelation. He doesn't know what God's voice sounds like, so he just thinks it's his mentor Eli. So every time God calls, he goes running in and wakes up Eli and goes, yeah, I'm here. And Eli's like, what? He goes, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. But eventually, Eli, who's an older man of faith, in his wisdom and experience, goes, I think it might be God that's calling this child. So he says, next time you hear this voice, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so that's what Samuel does, and he responds, and he goes on to become Israel's great prophet. But what we sometimes miss is the reciprocality. Is that a word? Thank you. Of this, because Eli, who's an older man, and this is, you wouldn't know it because it happens in the previous chapter, but he hasn't been a raging success in his ministry. You know, in fact, his boys have used their position of influence as PKs in that community, priest kids, to kind of rort the system a little bit. So they've kind of gone off the rails, and so, you know, he's not doing great as a dad. And then at the beginning, you might have missed it, but right at the beginning of today's passage, it says that, you know, during his ministry, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were rare. It was rare that people had those epiphanies or those moments where God would speak to them. And so that kind of reflects a little bit on his priestly ministry, doesn't it? And yet here he is with some of the wisdom and insight to set Samuel loose, to help Samuel respond to the call of God upon his life. And then through Samuel, thousands are going to get to hear the word of God spoken. So it's amazing the way in which God reveals himself in this, both ways, in this conversation between this older man and this young boy. Now, as we go into our gospel reading, we have Mary and Joseph, and I spoke at Advent about some of Joseph's journey. There's been a lot happening for Joseph, and of course we celebrated Christmas, and we know about angels showing up and shepherds showing up, and then wise men at the beginning of Epiphany, and all the rest of it. So there's been a lot happening, and then they take Jesus, this child, to the temple to do for Jewish boys what you do under the law, and while he's there, God guides Simeon to speak into their lives. So Simeon speaks and gives them a little bit more insight into just who this child Jesus is. And if that's not enough, God also sends Anna along. And Anna shows up and also starts to share, not just with the parents, but with all those around, who this child is. This child is the Messiah. And did you catch that phrase in it? I think it says something like, the parents were amazed by what was said. And I think it's Mary who treasures these things up in her heart. You know, there's a sense of epiphany that happens for the parents as Simeon and Anna speak. Now, this happens heaps throughout the Bible. Even as I'm talking, you're probably like, oh, yeah, it's like this other story where, you know, I don't know, Jesus walking through the wheat fields with his disciples and they're just picking and eating grains of wheat, and it ends up being a conversation about the Sabbath, and they get to learn about the Sabbath. Or at the, I preached last year, they're sitting at the temple and some people are putting a lot of money into the offering, some people are putting very little into the offering, and it sparks a conversation about generosity and what giving looks like in the kingdom of God. So there's all these conversations that Jesus is having with his disciples. Or one of my favourite is, on the road to Emmaus. Jesus has been crucified, but on the day of resurrection, there are two guys who are walking along, and in their wrestling and in their doubt, I feel a song coming on. In their wrestling and in their doubt, they're wrestling with what's happened and trying to make sense of it. And suddenly, in their wrestling, Jesus appears, and they have that epiphany, don't they, when he breaks the bread. Or think further into the New Testament, Philip and the Ethiopian. You know, there's an Ethiopian who's trying to read scripture and he's trying to make sense of it. He doesn't really understand it because he doesn't have someone to talk to about it. Then Philip pops up and goes, well, you can talk to me about it. And then they have a conversation. And then the Ethiopian goes, well, this sounds amazing. You know, how do I respond? And Philip's like, well, you should get baptized. He goes, great, let's do it. Philip's like, oh, now? And he goes, yeah, why not? So they go, all right. And they baptize him right then and there by the side of the road. And he goes off and he plants one of the oldest churches, the Ethiopian church, which is one of the oldest churches in the world. Just out of that conversation, the revelation that comes as they share that conversation together. Now, I've missed my little group of men and meeting and getting those conversations happening. And so I thought, as I began this year, and I'm sure you do this as well, when you start at the beginning of the year and you go, okay, so what are the spiritual practices that are going to sustain me for my year ahead? And so one of the things that I thought, well, I would like to do is I'd like to get back into meeting with a group of guys, having breakfast before work, and actually having some conversations around those no, grow, go themes. And so if you're a guy here and you think, yeah, that sounds pretty cool, I'd like to do that, you can email me. My email is just in the pew sheet. You can send me an email and go, yeah, I'd love to do that. And I don't know, we'll meet in Palapalaumu or wherever. Or come and have a chat to me afterwards. I would love to have a conversation with you. And sorry, ladies. But you guys are way better at organising yourself than us men are. So I'm sure that if you want to do it, you too can kind of go, yeah, I would like to do that. I'll get a card off Ben and I'll get together some ladies and we too will kind of have some deep spiritual conversations and see how God shows up. But I didn't want us to miss the opportunity to hear from God today. So, what I'm going to do in a moment is I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to get you to consider those questions around no, grow and go. What's been my moment closest to Christ this week? How am I learning? What am I reading? What am I listening to? How am I growing? Whenever I had the opportunity to share my faith this week, or when have I missed an opportunity? And then what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to share the peace where I go, the peace of Christ be always with you. And you say, just like that, just like real Anglicans. And also with you. So that's how we're going to do it. And then you're going to go and find someone, hopefully with a little bit more enthusiasm than that. And you're going to go and find someone, share the peace with someone and go, hey, do you want to partner with me in this exercise? And you're going to get a chance to share your no grows and goes with one another, just 5 minutes each. But what I want you to do is not give each other lots of advice. Oh, yeah, that happened to me once, and I did, you know. No, you don't need to give each other advice. Just listen. And as you're listening to the person talk, listen to what God might be saying through them as well. Does that sound good? And then the worship team will just call us back here, and we'll gather together, pray, and we'll gather together for a song. We'll come back on. But I'm really keen for us to have an epiphany today, to hear God speak in our midst as we share together. So let's start in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Stir up our hearts and open our eyes to see what you are doing in our lives at the moment. Help us to see where you are present. As the Holy Spirit just begins to move in this place, I want you to consider, when has been your moment in the last week, or maybe two, when has been your moment closest to God this week? Or perhaps there have been moments where you felt far away. And that's good to be able to recognize too. As we start off this new year, what are you reading? What are you listening to? What are you learning? How are you growing? And lastly, as you reflect on your week, when have you had an opportunity to share your faith? Or perhaps when did you miss an opportunity? All right, let's stand. The peace of Christ be always with you. Well, that's somewhat more enthusiastic. Fantastic. Go and share the peace with those around you. Find someone to partner with. Maybe guys with guys, woman with woman. And you have 5 minutes each to share. I'll give you a little bit of a countdown. Right, team, have you found someone yet? Have you found someone? Hands up if you don't have someone. Anyone not got someone? All right. Okay, find a place to sit. Shh. Find a place to sit with the person that you've chosen, the chosen one. All right, Has everyone got one of these cards in their pew sheet? Fantastic. Shall we start with the prayer that's on the back? Shall we start with the prayer together? All right. Are you ready? Shh. Here we go. You got no grow and go on one side, and if you turn it over, there's a prayer on the back. So let's begin with that prayer together. Jesus, come join us in this journey as we seek your will for us in this place. Teach us to love each other as you love us, to give ourselves as you give yourself, that the kingdom of God might be made present through us to all. Amen. All right, first person start sharing.
Thank you.
Just give you guys a two minute warning, so two more minutes, and then we'll pray. All right, everyone, start 30 seconds to wrap up your conversations for the moment. Wrap up your conversations, team. All right, do you know what I think would be a good way to finish? Would be praying together. Would you feel comfortable doing that? Can I just ask you guys to pray for each other? Can I just ask you guys to pray for each other? Just as we finish, and then as we come out of a time of prayer, we'll finish our time together in worship. So let's pray. Just pick up on something that the person has said and pray into it. If it's something they want to learn, pray into it. If it's a moment closest to God, pray into it. If it's feeling distant, pray into it. If it's an opportunity to share faith, pray into it. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Move amongst us as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Just keep praying into one another's lives.
I don't want to rush anyone, but if you are ready, you can stand and sing with us. If you want to keep praying, just keep praying. Let's just lean into God, lean into the presence of the Holy Spirit here, and allow God to continue to reveal himself to us.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You
never stop, you never stop working.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are.
As we gather as your family, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We adore you, Lord, for what you do in our lives. Blessed are you, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have all the gifts that we share to give to you, Lord. Accept and use our offerings, our ministries, our visiting, our gifts. Use them for your glory, O Lord, and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever.